This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host. We got a couple of commissioners in here with us, Commissioner Mike Freeman. Mike, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Tanner. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for being in here. And, of course, Commissioner Chairman Kevin Ross as well. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pleasure to see you.
Good to have you guys back in here in the studio with us. And a little bit calmer times from what I've been able to tell here after the last month or two of what's been going on.
They're
at
both
the county.
Smiling and naughty.
Well, maybe they've just done a better job of keeping it out of the press. Maybe that's what's going on here. But, Kevin, let's talk about it. The rules of the board. It sounds like a great game, a game show, or a show on Netflix. But
yes.
Talk to us about the rules of the board that you guys instated.
Well, for $500. you know, really what it is, Tanner, it's about decorum. Anywhere you go, you have office, you know, procedures, you have... you know, rules you're going to follow in your office. And when you're an elected official, so you don't fall under HR's purview. And so all of our employees at Weld County, they have to fall under all the rules and guidelines set forth in Chapter 3 of our county code. And there's an HR guideline that everybody has to follow. Elected officials don't. And so as Weld County commissioners, there's been some unspoken rules, but nothing's ever been put down on paper, and we're trying to wrestle with a few challenges we've had here the last couple of years. And so this year I decided and spoke with the other commissioners, and we collaborated, putting forth some rules of decorum and how we should operate as commissioners.
So I haven't seen the vote on this, but I'm assuming 4-1?
Exactly 4-1.
Okay, I thought that might be the case.
Yes.
So who came up with these rules of the board? Was it just the commissioners? Did you have outside people say, hey, or did you copy it kind of from the HR guidelines? How did these rules come about?
You know, we met and, goodness, when was that? It was back in February?
Probably so. And Bruce Barker had most of it.
We kind of gave an outline. We gave it to our county attorney and he drafted up, you know, the legalese of it.
Okay. One of the things that I saw in there was the recording portion of you can't record somebody else without their knowledge of it. And, of course, we obtained the email of it was a conversation between you, Mike, and Lori Sain that was used as a re-election ploy for Lori Sain. Have you ever had that as a county commissioner? Have you ever had that happen before, Mike?
Was somebody recording me?
Yeah.
No. You know, it's kind of like Bruce said. You know, he's been here for 40 years, and he said for 40 years we never had to do this because everybody just kind of understood and explained and knew how to act properly. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case lately. So that is the reason why we actually had to put these in writing.
No, it's where the whole society is this way right now. I mean, what you're dealing with is a microcosm of what is really going on out there in the world, where we have no longer looked at each other as humans. We're looking at each other as a web address, as a Facebook post, as a, you know, a Twitter account with an @. You're not Mike Freeman, you're @ Mike Freeman to people who are talking at that time. They dehumanize, but that's the way things have gone and the way we communicate with each other. And to think we've come to a point in our society where we need to, and we do, reapply rules of human behavior and just basic human conduct, we've needed to be reminded of that. And I can think in a lot of situations it's long overdue where you think, look, we should get this. I shouldn't have to say, kids, don't start the couch on fire when we go out to dinner. But apparently you do have to say those things, and I think we almost need to look at it that way as we're kind of learning how to be civilized again. Because we've completely lost our minds in the way we talk to each other.
It's very unfortunate, quite honestly.
It is, but isn't that kind of what we're dealing with in a sense?
It is. It is. I mean, we have someone acting unprofessional in our office, and we got to bring back decorum and professionalism.
Well, and I would have to imagine it's a pretty good reminder for all of you guys as county commissioners on this as well, because I know how heated it has been, you know, behind closed doors in there. And it's a good reminder for you guys as well, you know, for I'll say, not to drop to her level. I mean, that's kind of where I would imagine kind of played into this as well, Kevin.
It really is. I mean, it's the people of Weld County deserve better. They deserve, you know, commissioners working on their behalf. They don't need to worry about squabbling and infighting going on. We need to be going to work for them and quit campaigning on everything that we do. And that's really what we need to do, is get down to business and work for Weld County.
Well, and I like my county politics boring.
It's more exciting that way, actually.
Oh, I'd rather it be boring. Tell me about the land charter use that you just got done. Tell me about, like, I would prefer that we got here and Brian's eyes were glazed over with the stuff that you guys were talking about. That's the way it is supposed to be. And fellas, I mean, we've seen it in Loveland right now. Loveland's got active lawsuits against each other, and we know what's going on with the decorum happening over in Fort Collins. Mike, I mean, you've obviously, you've been there longer than anybody else in terms of the county commissioners. You've went through some crazy times prior to this as well, but have you seen the decorum decay over the last couple of years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even when we were having issues back, you know, several years ago with the commissioner, it was still, quite honestly, the difference in my mind is Commissioner Conway, maybe we had some disagreements along the way and whatever else, but deep down, he truly did care about Weld County. Mm. I don't believe that's the case now.
Mm. Oh, it's tough. Guys, I want to flip the topic here just a little bit and talk about our Colorado GOP. Obviously, Dave Williams in the headlines it is a dumpster fire, Kevin. You're kicking out Sandra Fish, a journalist there. What are your guys' thoughts on this? I know you guys have been kind of in the spotlight with public meetings as well, but what were your thoughts when you saw a credentialed journalist getting removed from their assembly?
I couldn't believe it, first and foremost. I mean, freedom of the press is always there, right? And even with what we went through, and obviously we brought back public comment, press was never cut off. Press was still allowed to be anywhere they needed to be so that they could accurately and fairly report on what we were doing. It just gets down to it's politics, and people have lost their minds. Again, Brian, to what you said a few moments ago about decorum, professionalism, and having to, rewire people to go, no, there's a proper way to behave.
Yes.
It's at all levels, guys. I don't care. And that state party is it's wild right now.
No, it is. Mike, how does the Colorado GOP, if they want to start to get more representation down in Denver, how do you go about it? Because right now, this isn't the answer.
No, it isn't. You know, and I felt that way even about the Weld County GOP for quite a while. I mean, it's not representative of what the voters think in Weld County. It's just not. And so, you know, I don't know. I think people have better things to do than to mess with that, right? So you don't have a lot, you've got good people that don't do this anymore. You got good people that don't run for these seats anymore because of what's Kevin's.
Well, they
saying.
Don't feel welcome.
They don't.
They go into these assemblies or caucuses and they get turned off right away. When I ran for my last election, you know, I asked all my friends, the people I knew around the community, would you please go to this? And they went to it. You know, they're trying to actively help me out in my campaign. They got done. They said, don't ever ask me to do that again. They said, we felt so unwelcome and we felt so put off by how things were going through the process. They're like, this should be a time where we're engaging people and making them feel welcome so that they want to volunteer and come back and be part of the party, right? And boost us up. And he goes, everybody said that's not how we felt walking away. And so we have to engage people on a positive manner, welcome them in, listen to them instead of just pointing fingers instantly and looking at you and going, I've never seen you before. You're a rhino. You know, and we use that term as a four-letter word, right?
Well, dumbest thing.
And this was the least attended caucus ever in Weld County. There's hardly anybody that showed up to this thing this year. Well, I mean, it was the numbers were down unbelievably. And, you know, and part of it is, so I had like five or six or seven guys that have gone every year to help me.
Right.
And I would call them and say, you guys going this year? Every one of them told me no. They said, you know what? You're not running anymore. We're out. We're done. We're not messing with this anymore.
Is it getting too clicky? What is the cause? Why is that? Why is the far right being the voice of the Colorado GOP right now?
That's a great question.
It is a great question.
I don't know, Tanner. It could be clicky, but it's just like the far left. It's many of our extremes have gotten activated. Mm. And so they start to take over these parties, and 'cause that's when they can get that voice heard.
Yeah.
And they feel empowered and emboldened sometimes. And sometimes good stuff comes from that. However, it turns others off that are part of the party.
As right.
Well. If you look, we've had a mass exodus of people leaving our party, the Republican Party, going to unaffiliated here
right.
in the state. That's our largest true voting block is unaffiliated here in the state of Colorado. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. And why is that? Well, if we're making them not feel welcome, not being accepting and listening to what they have and at least listening, letting them air their voice, then that's a challenge.
No, it is. And if I may quickly, like, let's not act like this didn't stem from the way, you know, that Donald Trump goes at people. Like, the Republican Party, Donald Trump is going to lose Colorado by 16, 18, 20% of the, you know, 20% of the votes out here in Colorado. And there we know this. I mean, and we saw this with Cory Gardner getting tossed as well. He was the third most bipartisan senator in the nation.
And one of the best senators serving in D.C., I'll say that.
And he got tossed out of there like nothing because he had the R affiliated mm-hmm. with Donald Trump. Colorado, the Colorado Republican Party has a Donald Trump party problem right now. When you look at Lauren Boebert, because she turns a ton of people off as well. I know she's running in this district now as well.
Yeah.
You look at what Dave Williams is doing. What Dave Williams is doing is just flat out unethical, running based off of Colorado GOP donations.
He's using
his own
the state
damn
GOP
election
to run his campaign.
It's so frustrating, and especially for me as a young Republican, it is very frustrating to sit here and look at and see the morons that are running this party in this state. It's incredibly frustrating. And I think having these conversations with you guys, because I know it. I mean, Republicans kind of all get lumped into this one thing. And if you're not that, then the rhino term, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, it all just kind of gets there. And it is, as Brian has always said, it's black or white. You're this or you're not. You're this or you're not, which isn't true.
No,
it is not true at all. And that's what the frustrating part for me is watching the, you know, the state when even when we were blue, right? I mean, that's the way that I think all of our government runs the most effectively is when we're blue, because there's positive ideas on both sides of the aisle. And when we shut that off just because of that letter next to your name, I think we're in real trouble at that point. Do you guys care to comment on that?
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing about it is, for whatever reason, the small vocal minority in both the far right and the far left are the ones that show up at this stuff. And it's not indicative of what the real Republican voters in this county or in this state think. And I think it's true on the Democrat side as well.
Yeah.
It's just not who they are.
It's what I was going to say is I feel that there is a huge problem because the meat of the party is not the face of the party. And what we're getting right now is some talking heads, some faces who, when we hear them talk, we think that's representative, that's the party. There are so many Democrats who, look, Biden doesn't speak for them as a Democrat. There are so many Republicans who Trump does not speak for them as Republicans. Yet those are the two faces we put. We're putting the crazies are the loudest, and they're the ones that we think encompass the whole thing. As somebody who's not a Republican, I look over and I think, oh, well, it's all Trump. As long as everyone's believing what Trump's saying, I can't dive into that way of thinking. Then when you start talking to people and actually have conversations and hear, neat idea, isn't it? And you hear people say, look, here's what I like about his policies. I agree with you on this, and this that I don't like.
It's the only reason we're able to do a show together is because I can sit here and do this with you.
And it's what we need to do as a country, to be mm-hmm. able to sit there and have those conversations and understand, okay, I hate this about this person, but I understand why that part appeals to you. And if we can all come with that, boy, you know, I think we solve a lot of issues, but can we get there?
You have to be willing to listen. And I'll tell you a quick story. I was at my my caucus for my local precinct, and there across the room is the gal that actually ran the campaign for my opponent in my previous race. And I'm looking at her going, oh, goodness, she's here. And I know she was looking at me going, oh, goodness, he's here, because she posted it on Facebook. We ended up having a conversation during that time. And it was a 45-minute conversation where each of us talked to each other, but yet we both opened our ears and we listened. And by the time it was done, now we're having true conversations and we're making headway and we're getting to places we need to be. And she goes, wow, I never thought, you know, I would be agreeing with you on some things. And I says, well, I'm telling you, if you'd have told me this morning I was going to be talking with you and agreeing with you on a few things, I would have called it baloney as well.
Did hell freeze over for a minute?
It may have. But what did we both do? We became adults and we listened, right, to each other. And that's where I think society's fallen off right now, is that ability, just like you're saying, Brian, sit down, have a conversation, and stop talking for a moment. Just to listen to the other person.
That is so spot on. Yeah. And I really believe that over the last 6 to 8 years, even though it's been talked about metaphorically and everything, the wall did not get built, but we built a wall between us.
Yeah, it certainly has
been put up, and it's time for us to start tearing that sucker down.
Yeah.
Well, and I think this country, you guys are right, this country's lost its mind. You saw what went on all across this country yesterday with closing the Golden Gate Bridge and blocking Chicago O'Hare Airport and all of that stuff. What is that all about? That's ridiculous.
No, it is. It is. And I think it's these conversations from leaders like you guys having these, because it's there. A lot of people are feeling the same way, and I appreciate you guys having this conversation. I mean, there's not a lot of registered elected Republicans that would get on the radio and say the things that you guys have. I know Mike doesn't give a damn. He's not running for anything else ever again. So, Kevin, I do applaud you.
I haven't for a while.
For that. But can you guys hang out for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
8:23 the time. Let's get a break. If you've got more questions, send them in. I've been monitoring the text line. Go ahead and send them in. We can get to some of these on the other side. 8:23 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Hey, 8:28 the time here. It's Good Morning NoCo. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, Commissioner Chair Kevin Ross, and Commissioner Mike Freeman in the studio with us this morning. Kevin, you guys had a town hall a couple of weeks ago. Would you like to break that down for us?
Yeah, actually, it was just last Thursday. What we did is we invited in all of our municipal partners. We had about 20, 25 of them show up at this meeting. And what we spoke about was growth in Weld County. What does that look like? You know, we're expected to double our population by 2045, so we'll have about 700,000 people living in Weld County by that time. So how do we want that growth to look like? What do we want? Urban sprawl going out into unincorporated Weld County? Do we want to centralize that around our 32 municipalities? And we've had one of these town halls with our developers across the county that work here and build. This was a good one with our municipal leaders, elected officials, and their planners, and really talking about what they see and what they vision and how they'd like it to look around their communities and in their growth boundary maps. And I'll tell you, it was an extremely productive, thought engaging meeting where everybody got to speak. Everybody had to share with us their opinions on what they liked. And what we heard were some commonalities, but yet we heard 32 unique situations. And so as we continue to draw up intergovernmental agreements with those communities, that's what we'll do, is we're going to have individual ones for each community so that we respect what they're looking for around their communities.
That novel idea. I love the idea. Now, when you talk about, when we look at Greeley, you know, and this area, you look at it and go, where more can we go? You know, as we've, but there's apparently...
There's plenty of room.
There's plenty of room because, you know, when I first moved here 30 years ago or a little more than that, you thought, okay, eventually all these towns are going to come together, you know, which we're getting at. But when you look at Greeley, is there... we have lots of land. We have downtown. We've got all of these. Have we looked at reimagining some things we already have?
Yeah, that discussion's actually going on because... your community needs multiple things. You need that urban sprawl to some degree because that's how you grow, and you need services around there. But you also need that thriving downtown. So how do we continue to support that old downtown area and continue to drive new businesses in there, workers in there that are going to support those businesses and keep it vibrant where people want to go down there and shop or recreate? And there's all sorts of things we need to mix into that. And really, we want to look at how our communities are going to join up with each other so that when they do run into each other, Brian, say, I'll take Eaton because that's where I live, and Greeley come together, their transportation systems need to be in alignment. So that's where we come into play, working with it so that when people want to get to work, they want to get to school, it's not this disjointed set of roads and it's gridlock everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the planning that needs to occur now so that 30 years down the road, people aren't looking back at us, cussing us, going, those idiots, did they not take time to think about how this was going to look? No, we are, and we're going to do this properly.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to go to Mike on this one. Of course, you've been a farmer all your life as well, and one of the things that I've been worried about is that with this growth, a lot of those small farms are starting to get bought out because there's checks big enough that you can't say no to. What are your thoughts on the local ag side of things here in Weld County as we're expected to double in population? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, ag's still going to be a major portion of Weld County, but when you look at it, as big as these municipalities have gone, probably still over 90 to 95% of Weld County is still ag, right? It's not in the towns. So at the end of the day, I think the common theme that came out of that the other night is there's some things that make sense out in unincorporated Weld County. But when it comes to residential subdivision where services are required, water, sewer, whatever, those need to be pushed towards the municipalities. And those municipalities are going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to get a little bit bigger. You're going to continue to see some farm ground go out of production. It's just a reality. Because it just is. But at the end of the day, the majority of Weld County is still going to be unincorporated, ag-related, ag production.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be interesting to watch that balancing act unfold. And again, to Kevin's point, that's why it has to start here. Because, you know, I was over in West Loveland a couple of months ago with my dad, and he's like, good Lord, that used to be a feedlot. You know, that was a big farm over there. And you can play that game everywhere around here as well. And you know, when you talk about the ag production, that's a huge part. I mean, of course, of Weld County, and something I'm sure you guys have on the top of your minds as the growth and expansion continues.
Absolutely. Ag is so vital to what we do. You know, we're the number 8 ag producing county in the entire country, and we're going to continue to support our farmers, our ranchers, our producers in any way that we can. And how do we live harmoniously with that, in lack of a better term? Because they have every right, and in Weld County, it's a right to farm county. So we're going to hold true to that. We're not going to take that away. And it's weird because you get calls. People move in. They're not used to Weld County, and they're like, it stinks. That feedlot over there, right, just is ripe. And what are you going to – you need to shut that down. And it's like, no, sir. Right? That is not the answer. Yeah. The answer is this is Weld County, and they get to be stinky.
Yeah. It's the smell of money,
right,
man.
And I keep telling my wife when she gets mad at me in bed, I said, look, this is my right.
It's Weld County. It's my right to be stinky. Is that what you tell her?
Yes. Yeah. But let me just say this, that one of the reasons I'm so proud to live in Weld County, and in Greeley in particular, is you just talked about the growth of how much Weld County is supposed to be up to, like 700,000,
yeah.
You're saying,
yeah.
in within too long. But to be able to have that kind of growth in population and keep what is endearing about this, and that is the sense of community and a small town feel in a growing community, that has to be a very difficult task. And I applaud you guys for knowing that and what you guys take on. Again, we say it every time, don't always agree, but I do appreciate that. And that is the one thing that has stayed with Greeley. When I moved here, there was about 60,000 people. And to now, I still... The reasons I moved here are still the reasons I stay here. It's because it's got all the amenities of the big city that I want, but it's still got that feel of the small community.
And that's why it was so important to us Thursday night as commissioners to, again, not us be the ones talking, but to listen to our communities, because each of them have that identity that you're speaking to, Brian, and we don't want them to lose their identities as they continue to grow. So how can we partner with them? How can we collaborate so that they stay that unique community, and yet we can still watch this growth happen and happen in a responsible way.
Well, and I know that a lot of that comes down to individual business owners as well. I mean, there's a reason why Kersey hasn't grown at the pace of Eaton. I mean, Eaton has been on the forefront of the growth of those small communities. Because, hell, even when I was graduating high school, you know, there was a plan for a rec center to go in Kersey, and it got voted down in the community. And where did it end up? Over in Eaton. So I know that some of these communities, and you see the difference. I mean, you see the drop in the number of people attending Platte Valley at this moment. So I know it is a fine balancing act to walk. Let's get one more quick break. We'll wrap up with you guys next. If you can hang out for just a couple more minutes. 8:35 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Let's go to the J9 Agency's text line here, wrapping up this conversation with Commissioner Chair Kevin Ross, Commissioner Mike Freeman from, of course, the Weld County Commissioner Board. Wrapping insurance guy, I love hearing that y'all are making some positive changes for the future of Weld County. I believe this is going back talking about the rules of the board. I still think it'd be a great Netflix series. If there's any opposition to the rules of the board, can we get a competition that's judged by the likes of John Stossel, Dennis Prager, and Bill Maher?
Bring it on.
A stampede exhibition.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think. Can I sell some sponsorships on
Let's
that?
Let's do it.
Brian and I'll MC it. We'll hand it over. I think that would be a lot of fun. Flying Dutchman texting in this morning. How is ag and Weld County going to be part of the energy transformation?
Well, that's pretty easy. Ag and energy go hand in hand, don't they, Commissioner
Absolutely.
Freeman?
Absolutely.
You look at all these pivot sprinklers out there on all of our farmers' fields. You look at some of them going to drip irrigation, subterranean drip irrigation. Their new combines, their new equipment. That's a partnership with ag and energy where they're gaining energy revenues to increase their yield on their fields where they can invest back in and get more efficient, more productive. And ag continues to lead the way. You look at our dairies with their biodigesters where they're taking all the manure off of the dairies, putting them in these biodigesters, capturing the methane off of it. They're actually injecting that back into the gas lines. People are heating their homes with it. Wow. It makes a better fertilizer that they're spreading on the field. So, again, ingenuity and partnership with our energy industry. Weld County leads the way. We got some brilliant ag leaders out there.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard about that. That's new information
that's
to me.
Fantastic.
It is. Well, and I know you've been down in Denver under the Gold Dome down there, and you guys have been taking on a couple of bills that have been coming through.
I was there testifying last night till 8 o'clock on an oil and gas bill. We were able to defeat the one that Senator Priola put up that was going to ban drilling by 2029. So we got that one defeated. And we got four others in there that are under the guise of air quality improvement. Mm. But really, they stop oil and gas. They put a halt to it on the backside of it. And we're working hard on those to educate our legislators and tell them that they're misguided in what they're doing, that oil and gas has made a 59% improvement. They've dropped their emissions by over 59% since 2008. So they're a partner with us, and they're not the major contributor right now to the smog we may see.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Commissioner Freeman, we got road construction getting ready to get underway. What do we got at the county level?
You know, that is the one thing. It's very frustrating sometimes because you got roads closed all over the place, right? It just seems like...
For like a year on some of them.
It seems like...
Thanks, Tanner.
And that was a roundabout way of getting that in.
Okay, that's
great. Every time.
Attaboy.
So, you know, and it's kind of interesting because we actually approve all those road closures.
Yeah.
And I still forget that the road's closed till I get to where the road's closed at.
Right. So,
but, you know, at the end of the day, here's the thing. If we weren't doing those things, can you imagine what kind of shape these roads would be in if you didn't stay ahead of the curve on infrastructure? And as we continue to see more growth, you know, the traffic is terrible at places out there. And when people complain to me about it, I said, well, here's what I need to let you know. It's not going to do anything but get worse. So we need to
continue. We're investing, $75 million in our road improvements this year.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We've got a number of pretty major road projects that are just getting ready to get kicked off. Going forward, I know that these guys are going to have a number of other pretty major road construction stuff going on in the future, including another roundabout up there. We'll try to get that one. Hopefully, they'll get that one done in a little less time. We'll see. But
that's the goal, Commissioner.
to all you freshmen in high school by graduation.
Oh, this is a tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. You earned it.
I love it.
You
yes,
did.
Yes, we did.
Yes, but well, guys, I appreciate you guys sitting down once a month with us. Your openness and transparency with us, we appreciate it. Final thoughts from either of you guys as we wrap up our conversation here today.
Go ahead, Mike. You go.
You know, it's always a pleasure to sit down and visit with you guys. There's always so many things, so many moving parts in Weld County, and we can always come up with topics. It seems like we come up with different ones every time, and just to continue to have that conversation out there. I mean, I think one thing that I really like about, especially where the two of us are, is we're extremely transparent. We'll answer whatever questions we can to the best of our ability, and I think it's good listening. I think it's very informative.
No, we feel the exact same way. Quick question, follow up. Where did that $75 million come from, Kevin, for the roads?
Well, that's coming from our general fund. But if you look at Weld County, just under 70% of our budget comes from oil and gas revenues, right?
Yep.
And so everybody's property taxes are reduced because of the value of the severance tax and what we receive off of oil and gas. And that's huge.
Yeah, it is. Kevin, final thoughts from you?
You know, this county, as far as commissioners go, we are working hard. We're out there. We're listening. We're collaborating with all of our stakeholders and our partners across the community. We're really trying to turn the page and get this county continuing to be set up for that growth. And I'm proud of the work that we're doing. And we're always, just like Mike said, we're always available for comment. We're working with a lot of groups right now to help them achieve some things. And really, you know, I think we got some bright things here in the future.
No, appreciate you guys. We'll catch up with you next month. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much, guys.
Thank you guys.
8:44 the time. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome back in, 8:49, 11 in front of 9 o'clock, and a windy, cool, sometimes rainy kind of morning. We've had a little bit of everything already, and it's just going to stay unsettled for the next few days. Turn a little cooler today and tomorrow, then just a little bit better, and then for the weekend. So that's going to kind of sum up that. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question today, and again, thank you to Eddie and Melissa and the whole gang at Happy Life Gardens. What do you...
I'm scrolling through some of the responses to that Happy Life Gardens poll question.
Which is, are you related to anyone famous?
Shane Sanders. I've got to read this. Shane Sanders comments and says, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, and I went to high school with Shane, and I'm going to call bull on that.
Isn't Colonel Sanders a... fiction character?
Harlan Sanders was real.
Oh, he was.
Oh, absolutely. Colonel Harlan Sanders was not made up as a mascot to pitch the company. He was a dude.
Okay. Yeah. Look at you dropping some KFC knowledge on me.
Look at me. Like, I didn't graduate with a degree in KFC. Come on. Charles says...
That's a good list right there from Charles.
Yeah, it is. On my mother's side, Patsy Cline. On my father's side, Frank and Jesse James. And look at you, Charles.
Isn't that the... So mean.
I've known him a long time.
So mean.
Dear friend, Michelle.
That's the second one that's said Jesse James. So yeah. We got some people who are related to each other, and they may not know it.
He was an outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, he found his way around. He slept around town. I like this. Michelle says, my last name is Franklin. So maybe. That's and Christy... says, I'm related to this. I got to read this
No,
one.
No.
This is the best one yet. I'm related to this awesome guy who is part of the Country Radio Hall of Fame and has won multiple CMA awards. Yes, that's you. Love you. Love you too, Cousin Christy. You're awesome.
I thought she was talking about Todd.
That's pretty good, Tanner.
Thank you, Brian. Julie said, I'm related to June Carter Cash. Somebody, that's a pretty good one. Mike said, we lean to the infamous side. Somebody's got to provide balance, LOL. Like I said, the infamous Terry Schwent out of my side.
I got you.
You go to Eastern Colorado and drop that name in the Stratton area, and here we are 60 years later. And the
legend lives.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Wanted to get to this text from the Flying Dutchman. Great work on the interview. And Flying Dutchman, I know I only got to like three or four of the texts that you were sending in, but we appreciate it. I try and do my best. We've got talking points and questions lined up that Brian and I have talked about ahead of time to get to those, some of these guests. But I appreciate everybody who contributed in that conversation as well. Listen, just to kind of put a bow on that topic, you will not get a lot of anybody, whether it's registered Republicans or registered Democrats who are elected, that will come in here and rip their own party like that. Like, I think that can sometimes kind of be lost on people. They are both registered Republicans to the Colorado Republican Party, and you heard what they had to say. And if you didn't, it'll be on the podcast version on 1310kfk.com. But I respect the hell out of those two for being able to sit here and still talk as people and not just members of a party, Brian.
No question. It means a lot to me to be able to have those conversations where I can talk to somebody with a completely differing opinion, but we get it. And through hearing each other's opinions, you realize that you really are kind of on the same page.
Yeah,
you know, which is surprising, but always great. And I just think it gets better and better every time we get the opportunity to have these conversations, because a lot of us look at, like, a lot of people like me look at the Republican Party and think you are all entrenched in this one way of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's so important when you do talk to people and find out that, no, that's not true.
No, it's not
at all.
Well, and I know that was, even when we just started this program, I know this was these were the types of interviews that you were nervous about coming in here.
I said I would leave the room.
You did. Yes. And look at you. I mean, look at us. Who would have thought? Rapping Insurance Guy said, thanks for giving us a place to put our intrusive thoughts. Yeah, we love those.
Yes, we
and some of them that you send in that we don't read, we're giggling at as well.
We certainly are. We do read them all.
8:54 the time. Let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Micah Kilpatrick. All right, listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Accessories with a flair and hair will have you turning heads, whatever event you're walking into coming up this summer. I know a lot of people are getting excited for the Stampede and for these great events. You know, great concerts going down at Union Colony Civic Center as well. All those special summer events are calling our names, and Linda Winter wants you to turn heads when you walk in. Mm-hmm. Where did they get that? Where is that from? Stop in at 801 8th Avenue, suite number 4. In downtown Greeley, look for that red awning and go in and see Linda. She's got a great line of skin product care as well as the turquoise jewelry. I'll never forget my you wear the turquoise ring.
Turquoise every day.
My grandma always had a turquoise necklace. It's a classy look. I like the turquoise.
I always loved it. I really have.
She's got that cowgirl look for you down there. Accessories with a flair and hair. 8th Avenue, suite number 4 in downtown Greeley, or online accessories with a flair and hair. Coming up, fourth and final hour, Kevin Lytle is going to join us from the Coloradoan. Nico Medved gets a 5-year extension. He's pumped up about it. More Moby Madness coming our way. And now let's talk with Kevin as well about how big of a test is this going to be for Nico Medved? Because this is going to be the first year without Isaiah Stevens or David Roddy. That's a big jump. So we'll talk with Kevin about that. The Rockies lose last night, but it was a weird game. I want to dive into that a little bit.
They got robbed.
Yeah, that's.
I feel they got robbed. I really do. They had that.
Yeah, they lose 2-1 in 10 innings.
In fact, they won that.
Yeah. Moral victory time. Let's talk some sports on the other side as well. Be a part of the conversation today. Text us 888-530-0043. Call us 970-353-1310. This is Good Morning NOCO. We're presented by Air Solutions right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.